Welcome back to the Black Is Break with yours truly, KC Layman. We have a round table of heavyweights tonight. Tonight's guests are Mike Eagle, independent rap artist, Martine Waters, freelance writer, Toria Williams, who is not her job, Stacy, I am not my hair brewer, Tash Mosley, artist manager, Chris Layman, editor at large of Black Is, John Bird III, editor-in-chief of Sickly Cat Magazine, and finally, Randy Foley, a.k.a. Dino Black. And tonight's topic is Obama 2012. What do we think of him now? So I'm going to keep my comments very basic. I can't even front. One of the primary reasons I voted for Obama is because I thought he was a brilliant black man, and I wanted to see that in office after so many years of the face of the president not looking anything like me or anybody in my family who I associate with. And I think that he's been giving his best effort. He's a politician. I expect him to be a politician. I don't automatically trust politicians, period. So I don't think that they ever do everything that they say that they're going to do, or that they set out to do. I think he's faced with tons of opposition. But in spite of all of the commentary about Obama, I know who I will be casting my vote for come 2012, and it will be him. So,
is that a default vote?
No. I honestly feel like it's not fair to cut him off at the knees. I think giving him only 4 years to try to make change with the mess he inherited is just simply not enough time. And if we were willing to give Bush a full 8, then Obama...
We didn't,
but he was giving it. So I would at least like to give him another opportunity to see how far he'll go. I don't know what people expected. I feel like people expected him to go in there and be like hella fight the power and militant, and I don't know what they expected.
I think they just expected him to do, just to follow through on some of the things that he actually said.
You don't think he tried?
I think he tried with health care, and for that, he went to bat, you know, for health care, but
and this is John Byrd speaking.
Yes, it is. Sicklycat.com. Other than that, I think he really dropped the ball. And even with the healthcare, because he was really on that single payer, just trying to universal healthcare, make sure that everybody was covered. And he just kind of, he got pressure from healthcare industry, and he decided to make it a mandatory, like a mandate. And it kind of switched the whole idea of it. So it was no longer universal health care. It was everybody has to pay for insurance. And that, I mean, he didn't win anything on either side of the fence with that. And if he just stuck to his guns, at least his base would have respected him. Because now nobody likes him.
Yeah, he's the constant butt of much criticism. But I don't think we have anybody in the running now who...
Yeah, but see how your conversation has changed now to, I don't think we have anybody in the running who...
I don't.
Yeah, but that's a problem. I mean, we're supporting... I mean, and let me just say, I'm going to vote for Obama.
But you think it's a default vote?
It's a default for most people. It's the lesser of two evils. I think he has a heart to do what he says he wants to do. Yeah. I don't think he wants it enough. I think he's detached from the everyday working person who is suffering. And... the people around the world, everybody in Palestine, they've been kicked out of their homes and they're walking around the desert right now, hungry, you know, dying of thirst because somebody wanted to expand their settlement. You know what I mean? And he said he was going to stop that, but he just doesn't have the heart to do the things that he says he's going to do. And I mean, how can you really respect him? He's the president of the fucking United States of America. Just do something. I mean, damn, dude, just do something. People are dying.
This is Chris Layman. My problem with, partly he is a politician still, so he has to think of his future. I mean, he came in saying, I need 8 years to make the change. Now, I do agree that he has not fulfilled all his promises and has backed off a bit. He's trying to be the nice guy and try to appease everybody, which in America you can't. They don't really care. It's just our opinion and that's it. I think he's going to try, but... You know, I mean, he has to think, if he goes balls off and says, I want this, and they shoot it down, he's gone. As soon as he says, this is exactly what it's about to be, you know, it needs to be this way, and, you know, Congress or Republicans or whoever doesn't like what he says just because it's he who's saying it, not because they agree or disagree. We just don't like you, so we're not going to agree. We shoot it down. He's gone.
See, but how can he solve that? How can he solve that problem? No matter what, they're going to do that. No matter what. So even when he's walking the middle of the road trying to appease everybody, they still shoot it down. It's never enough for Republicans. Never. Yeah. Nothing is ever enough for them. They want the rich richer. They want the poor poorer. Period. That's what they aim for. And if he's not going to take a stand against that, then he's not winning going the middle road. He's not winning. Nobody likes him when he's in the middle. Nobody.
This is Tash. I will say he's being himself. I mean, I never expected Obama. If you read both of his books, was it Letters from My Father or Dreams from My Father and something about hope, Audacity of Hope. Thank you very much. He was never a radical cat. Like, he's not some leftist progressive guy that, you know, the right wing tries to paint him as just as a way of framing the debate. He's a real middle of the road, leans toward conservative. And I mean, listen, I agree with you, John. I don't think he's above our critical analysis. I think black people need to be really clear about we have certain issues that we want addressed. He hasn't done it. And, you know, I mean, hold him to the fire. However, it's hard when I hear black people criticize him and they don't start off with what he has done. And I'll tell you why that's a little difficult for me to digest. Why there people who do that, their opinion, because we live in like a world where basically the right has an echo chamber in Fox News and AM radio. And any ideas that they want to get out, they get out, and they kind of make it part of the daily conversation, the refrain that we're all talking about. Oh, he hasn't done anything about jobs. Oh, yeah, which I agree. He hasn't done this. He hasn't done that. And it ends up clouding, ends up being so much a part of our daily parlance that I need people who are critical thinkers and who see and who follow politics, I need them to articulate what they like about him before I can really take their, give their opinion any credence, you know? Because if you think about what he's done, I'm a big, big progressive. So the fact that he has repealed Don't Ask, Don't Tell to me is like awesome. I'm like, all right, that's a score on his side. I'm not a progressive. I mean, I am a progressive, but the fact that he has even found Bin Laden, score on his side. I mean, what else?
Allegedly.
Allegedly, fine. I mean, if that's what you want to believe, we can't even have a conversation about it. But then also with saving the economy and bailing out Wall Street. I mean, and you can talk about whether or not you feel as if how they bailed out Wall Street was the right way, but the fact that
no
we were on the brink
attached.
You're right.
That was as reckless as everything that they did.
But he,
there's
even in law school,
them from doing what they did before.
When he was editor of the Harvard Law Review, the front line. You saw the front line, the PBS front line about him. People, all the progressives on the Law Review were just so happy when he got. When he got voted in, and then they got so disappointed when they saw how he was siding on some of these critical issues about what would be published and whose story would be lead. They realized he was far more conservative than they actually thought he was, simply because he was a black man, you know, with an African dad, and you know, I mean, with a story to, you know, and he had been a community organizer. They realized, oh shit, we went for the okie doke.
But he campaigned highly progressive. When he campaigned,
did he?
He was talking about ending the occupation in Palestine. He was talking about ending corporate involvement in politics. He was talking about highly progressive things.
Well, I don't remember the corporate involvement in politics. That could have been one of his platform points. And he can't do anything about that because the Supreme Court is the one that decided that, you know, the corporations and money is tantamount to free speech, and they can give as much as they want. So, I mean, he was basically hamstringed in that regard. But I will say, he did relent on the healthcare reform. He did. You're right. I thought he bitched out, basically. He did. There was another issue that you mentioned that I had to agree with you with. I forget. Yeah, but that's the thing. We can criticize him, but
my thing is with politicians, don't they always set up their campaign? I mean, the point of the campaign is to win. So whether or not you are making promises that you actually will keep. The point is to get the people to believe that you're going to keep those promises so that you get the job.
But when they don't keep them, then the voters can say, look, we're going to go with Ron Paul, or we're going to go with Ralph Nader, you know, someone who really believes that way. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, I think, but we don't ever really believe what these politicians are saying.
Right.
But with Obama, it was different.
Because he's a black man.
Right. It was because he was a black man and because he was actually convincing. I'm sorry, man. He was good.
He's a good politician.
He really believed that he wanted to do some things.
Right.
And I just don't believe that he wants, you know, and one of the main reasons I'm voting for him is because I look back to George Bush. And George Bush, for his first 4 years, I mean, he was a bit of a bastard, but he held back a little bit. When he got reelected, he lost his damn mind because he wasn't worried about getting elected again.
Right.
He went all out. He started funneling money into his own companies, Halliburton. He is a billionaire right now. And yet, where is he? Has he said anything about anything?
Mm-mm.
He doesn't care. He is a billionaire.
He's off the radar.
And he's fine.
Wait, so he was invested in Halliburton? He had to divest of that. I mean, he may be... He didn't divest any of his shares in Halliburton.
What, to his two daughters?
No, I mean the immediate family, like him, his wife, and his kids, as long as they were under when they were, you know, less than 18. He can't put money into his. Well, I mean, of course, he's George W. Bush. He's a good old boy. He's going to be taken care of. But the fact that he's a billionaire, I think we would read about that on, like, the Forbes billionaire list if he was actually a billionaire.
Well,
he's comfortable.
He has
welding.
Access to billions of dollars.
He's a Bush. He's a Bush, though. That we can get with. But, you know, we shouldn't, you know.
Shouldn't what?
Pump it up just for the sake of argument.
But I see your point.
My point wasn't even about his money. My point was that the reason I'm voting for Obama is because I'm hoping that
him to come with something different with him.
That he gets a billion,
exactly.
So he can give it back.
Like
up.
Now that the gloves are off, like I don't have to get reelected. I don't care. I'm about to go all
out.
I agree.
And
I'm hopeful.
In the first 4 years, he had to leave the culture he inherited. At the end of the day, and he was held to a different standard because he is a black president. I think we were all putting the fire to him because he was African-American. That was the whole... Because, I mean, there's hype around presidents, but there was hype around Obama.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. More than anything.
And so it's kind of unfair to really judge because we went in with the expectations here.
This is true.
But he did that. That was him. He did that. It was his narrative that, you know, his campaign and all them people that control spin, they did that. They set those expectations like that because that's what motivated all of these people who hadn't voted before to vote, was based on this new thing that was supposed to happen with this new guy that was in there. So, I mean, I don't think I have to hold that against him personally. I have to, like, because that's what he put out there. Those are his commercials. Like, he signed off on all of that. You know what I mean? But I think a real bottom line thing is for me that I've seemed to realize out of all of this is that I don't even think you can be president without being like beholden to Wall Street. I don't think you can get in that office without, you know, having to have already sold out kind of to like the people who run the financial part of the country, and their fingers are so deep in government that there's really only a certain amount of changes that somebody can make on that tip. Because to even get there, you have to go that route. And that's why I don't have much hope even for his next 4 years. Because the system is broken, and he got in through the system. You know what I mean? So like, there's only a certain amount of real change that can happen, and the system is broken. I mean, I think that's what we're all kind of saying. It's like, yeah, like, you know, people play the games of the politics and they tell you what you want to hear. It's like all of this stuff that basically means that what the government is supposed to be doing, which is representing the will of the people, is not doing, you know? So like, what can he really do about that on the financial tip when that's who really helped put him in there? And he put them same people on the Fed and all the, like, you know, all of the financial advisors were the same. Exactly. Bernanke. Like, he kept Bernanke on. Bernanke is like the one who caused the crash, caused it. Bernanke said, like, yo, yeah, let's keep real interest rates real low. Let's have all these people get these subprime mortgages, you know, and he encouraged all the banks to do that. And then, you know, everybody knew that once these people got these mortgages, they wouldn't be able to pay them and all of that would fail. And these banks were selling these same mortgages all around the world to get more money for them. And, like, it caused the crash. And then, you know, the government goes in and bails out the banks, but they're trying to they're kind of controlling them too, low key. It's all a really weird game, you know. And I don't really see him doing anything about that, and that's like really disappointing to me, you know.
There's zero regulations, and he's not doing anything to heighten regulations on corporations. Hmm. Nothing. You know, he talks a good game. He talks about regulations over and over and over and over again, but he just completely just folds. And I'm not just saying he folds because, oh, Congress isn't going to do something. I mean, literally, he has the option to present a bill. And before it even gets to the table, it's been so diluted that what they're even fighting over isn't what he's been talking about the whole time.
But, John, I'm a little confused just because maybe we see two different men. I mean, honestly, I hear the passion in your voice, and I'm confused just, like, the fact that, like, what Mike said, that the fact that he's not doing, he was a part of the system. I don't expect him to meet these type of demands of progressive agendas. I just...
Are they not plausible?
Not for his character. That's just not him. He's a middle. He, you know what? From a psychohistory, and I'm not a psychiatrist or a psychologist, I'd say though he has a strong need for the rich white guys to like him.
I mean, we all do.
No, we all don't. Not, all of us don't have double consciousness like that.
And the thing is, okay, now if we're going to talk about that in regards to who he is. Obama, okay, he is the face of a black man. But if we're talking about his actual experience, the world will respond to him aesthetically because he appears to be a black man. But fathers from Africa, raised by white mother, white grandmother, in Hawaii of all places, like his experience is not what we would consider the stereotypical experience of a black man or African American man, just by nature of who was raising him and where he was. And so, like, I agree with you in that regard, Tash. Like, I think what we want to believe of him and who he actually is are two different people entirely.
I'm sorry for speaking so much, but my okay. problem with that statement is that we assume that if he had grown up in South Central LA, that he'd be a hyper-progressive. I'm sorry, we are not the most progressive people in the world.
No, you're right. You black know, people not, aren't. Yeah, we're pretty fucking conservative.
Yeah, well, religiously conservative.
Exactly. And that ends up...
Politically progressive a little bit, but we're... consciously just we're unaware of what's going on around us. So just I'm almost happy that he didn't have our upbringing.
Well, it changes his perspective. It changes his perspective entirely. And to me, it's what made him likable by everybody. You know, had he been raised by a black mama, it might have been a very different man right. we were dealing with. You know what I'm saying? And the world would have not have responded to him in the way that they had. So you're right. I was like, wow, he is really he can appeal to everybody. You know, he had the absentee dad. He's biracial. He got the white mom and grandma at home raising him. And, you know, he had everything that would make him likable to damn near everybody.
But he also
except the Tea Party folks. They don't like right. him much. They in Wyoming. They ain't got no biracial nothing.
No, they don't know what that's about.
No. Nah.
He's completely foreign to
them. They browner than anything. He's around anything they didn't seen all day long. That's all they know.
But here's my question. Are we frustrated enough with Obama to not vote for him in 2000? I mean, honestly, people, what do we think his chances are of coming back into office? Do we really think that this is it for him? He's going to get 4 years, is one and done?
Well, his chances don't rely on us.
Of course.
Because I mean, we're going to vote for him regardless. I guess it relies on us to the extent that we go out in the numbers that we did the right. first go around.
Right.
And, but I think if I know my people, they will get up and go out and vote to make sure that Obama is still in office. And I think Michelle said it best. She said, I think in his first campaign for Senate, there was an argument between his campaign manager and some other staffers on the campaign. And Michelle said, you know what? Don't worry about the black people. She said, they'll come. She said, why don't we address, if we're going to have to pivot a point, why don't we make the masses, meaning, which was code for like the white folk happy.
Right, right.
And the black folks will still come and vote for us. And that's something about when we see ourselves on TV, when we see ourselves or what we think is ourselves, in a position of power, we get happy and we want to support it regardless. And like, whether it's default vote or not.
That's the truth.
And that's the exact same thing Herman Cain was saying. That right. Obama is there because black people put him in because he was black without even paying attention to his politics and what he stood for and what he said he was going to do. He took the position that he is there because black people weren't thinking critically.
And politically, we tend to be brainwashed. Now,
I got a problem with Herman Cain for that. Because well, that's airing family laundry out in the street. We all know it's true.
On the View. On the View.
But that's not the, you know, like, talking to white America is not the forum to be talking about what's wrong with. That needs to be on some closed circuit black television.
No, I mean, on a TV one. No, I mean, on a.
Right.
I mean, he could say that. This is Chris. He could say that. But I mean, honestly, what industry, if you have somebody who's not the norm, if you get represented, like, do you think if a white NBA ball player, like a, not a European, but a white boy, ball player with skills, of like Burke, comes up and starts balling, you don't think white people are going to support him? Absolutely. I mean that's the thing. You think, if Hillary Clinton won and was going to run for president, you don't think the women would be backing her? I mean, it's the same thing. Of course.
I think really all of it is kind of a moot point because, yeah, the black people are going to vote for the black dude, of course. But that's not why he's in office. He's in office because he activated all of them young college folks.
Yeah, that's
and
what
all
it
them
was.
People who was, you know, progressive in school and like, yeah, hope and change. I'm all about that. The same people occupying Wall Street right now was the right. ones that voted for him. Right. You know what yep. I mean? And so
right.
I'm a little worried about his chances to get back in because them people ain't happy. You know what I mean?
No.
And those people aren't beholden to him like black folks are.
Right.
And so.
But they voted the a little other bit more folks, than we do.
Yeah. And the other folks, the other side is mobilized. Whoever their candidate is, we know from experience that they will rally around their candidate and they will just be happy to get rid of him because they really believe he is a socialist and a Muslim.
And a terrorist.
And a terrorist.
What? Well, other than being a terrorist, what's wrong with being a Muslim or a socialist?
Nothing.
But we don't know that in America yet.
and for real, and it ain't nothing wrong with it, but the fact that most of America is like Tea Party like folks, that's what you tell them to get them mad at somebody. That's what you tell them. You know what I mean?
He's no, Muslims ain't cool.
Right.
America. Not I mean, America. Honestly, right. not in America. You're not,
that's
no.
true. That's true.
You're not the majority. We don't like what you say.
Because they can't even fathom the fact that we're terrorists to other folks.
Too. Right. But can kind of go there.
Right.
Yeah, way worse stuff has been done in the name of Jesus.
Right.
Way worse.
Like, whose religion's on the paper?
Right.
Okay, that's
right, exactly.
Right. Will anybody have anything to say in summation?
I love you, Obama.
Obama 2012.
Right. We thank you for tuning in. Please join us for the next Black Is Break. Peace.